Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning and join me in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We have been out of pocket for a couple of weeks now, but I want us to dive back into James chapter 3. We've been working through a series through that book of the Bible, and so if you're new this week, I want to invite you, you can go back on our website and listen. I know that would be a lot of fun for you, right? So you can go back and listen in case you've missed a message. We also typically, the staff gathers together on Monday mornings, and we host a podcast called Beyond the Sermon, where we'll talk even more in depth about the message from Sunday. And so if that's interesting to you, if you need something to fall asleep with at night, we invite you to tune in and to listen to that on our website or either on iTunes as well. I want to read the text for us this morning, and then I want us to walk back through it and see what God would say to us this morning about what I believe is an important subject, the subject of wisdom. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13 and reading down through verse 18. James writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes, that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears, that we would be able to hear, that you would open our hearts, that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit this morning. And we ask that in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Have you ever met someone that was incredibly smart, yet dumb? Anybody want to raise your hand? You can do that. As long as it's not your neighbor, they may get upset if you say that about them. But we've all met people that are like that. People that we would say are just absolutely incredibly smart, but they're really just not that smart. You know what I mean? And so here's the question. What are we talking about when we talk about someone in that way? It's not that they don't have knowledge. In fact, knowledge and wisdom are not the same thing. We may conflate those two things, but Scripture paints a very different picture between knowledge and between wisdom. And what we're talking about this morning is wisdom. And so wisdom is simply knowledge acted on. So when you say that someone is incredibly smart, yet they're kind of dumb, what you're saying is they have the right knowledge, they just don't know what to do with it. And interestingly, the same thing can be true of us. We can have a lot of knowledge, but we really don't know how to put that into practice. In fact, let's press in a little bit more for us this morning and just ask this question. What does it mean to have wisdom that is godly? What does it mean to have knowledge about who God is and what his word reveals to us about himself, and actually be able to put that into practice, do something with that in our lives? James is going to give us a glimpse of what that looks like. And he's going to do it in a way that I think is helpful for us. A way that you're probably familiar with from school, where a teacher may come in and they say, "Listen, here are two things, and I want you to compare and contrast those two things." James is going to do that with us here this morning. He's going to compare and contrast what he would deem as worldly wisdom on the one hand and heavenly wisdom on the other hand. What is the difference between worldly wisdom and heavenly wisdom? James is going to give us that information this morning, but it's not just so that we have the information. It's so that it leads in our lives to transformation, into us growing more and more to be like Christ. That is the reason that James writes this. Don't forget that James's heartbeat for those who are reading this, his heartbeat for the early church that he's writing to, is he wants them to have a faith that actually works. Not just head knowledge, but a faith that leads to life transformation, that allows us to be able to live in the world in which God has called us to live, not as if it's our home, but as if we're pilgrims that are just passing through. See, we live in this world, but it's only for a brief time. In fact, we find out that it's just a vapor. It's just a mist. And it won't be long before all of us stand before our Creator and we give an account for our lives, give an account of whether we've trusted in Jesus for salvation or we haven't. And here, James wants us to understand, wants us to recognize what it means to be wise, not according to the world's standards, but wise according to God's standards. So he begins, as all good teachers begin, with a question. Who is wise and understanding among you? Isn't it interesting that none of us hop up and say, well, that's me, right? I mean, I'm the wise one and the understanding one in this group, clearly, right? Nobody jumps up and says that. James wants us to think about the answer to that question. How many of us would claim that we're wise, that we have understanding? How many of us would claim that we possess wisdom? James says it's pretty evident those who are wise and understanding, and he gives us this reminder. By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. James says it's not enough to claim to be wise, and even that, it's not enough to know a lot of information. We talked about this several weeks ago when we talked about the difference between having a head knowledge about God and his word and that actually leading to transformation in our lives. That's what James is reminding us. Listen, it's not enough just to have a head knowledge of who God is and what he's done, but it's got to move us from understanding that to possessing that deep within us, salvation through Christ, so that it transforms the way that we live our lives. James says, you want to know one who's wise and who's understanding? Look at their life. He says here that by their good conduct, you could substitute in there, by their righteousness, let them show their works in the meekness of wisdom. Now, James begins in verse 14. If you're taking notes this morning, I have a long phrase to pull together and it's actually two sentences, and Pastor Scott and I had a conversation last night. I'm not sure exactly how he broke it up on the screen, but his comment to me was, Michael, that's a long, long sentence. I don't know what to do with that. And if you notice, we redesigned the bulletin, and I gave you less space this week. So just want you to know that. So if you really want to take good notes, you may want to bring a notebook. So, but here is what I want us to understand, it's this about worldly wisdom, which James is going to begin talking about in verse 14 and carrying down through verse 16. Worldly wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And it's demonstrated, James is going to tell us here, by bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, and every vile practice. Did you get all that? You can ask your neighbor if you need help writing that down. Worldly wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, and it's demonstrated by bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, and every vile practice. Notice verses 14 through verses 16. James writes, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. But this wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be every disorder and vile practice." Now, I love that James gives us this picture of worldly wisdom first. James is going to describe for us, as he's comparing and contrasting here, wisdom that's from above, heavenly wisdom that we receive from the Lord, and wisdom that's not from above, he says here. In fact, earthly wisdom, wisdom that is focused in on this world. And James says for us that worldly wisdom is earthly. I just think about that for a second. That we see here is in verse 15. He says, "This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly." What does James mean by it's earthly? He's not making a statement about how we should feel about the earth. That's not what he's talking about. In fact, what James wants us to understand here is that wisdom that is worldly in its nature originates here. Doesn't originate in heaven. In fact, it originates here. It's not God's wisdom, it's man's wisdom. In fact, if you think about it in this way, worldly wisdom focuses in on reason as the primary thing to get at good understanding and good knowledge, and yet heavenly wisdom focuses on God's revelation of himself. Listen, we were all, for the most part, brought up in trying to understand what earthly wisdom is all about. Right, our education primarily is built oftentimes on earthly wisdom, on things that are not necessarily godly at all. In fact, things that are often opposed to God. And James cautions us here to recognize and be able to see the difference between wisdom that is from God, that is heavenly, and wisdom that is from man, that is earthly. In fact, you could look and recognize earthly wisdom by very clear picture of what would God say is not true. And that's exactly what earthly wisdom says is true. So if you look at it, you realize here that James says that worldly wisdom is earthly. But then he goes a step further and he says it is unspiritual. It means it has no origin in God's word or God's nature or who God is. In fact, its origin is in everything to do separated from God. James here says that there's a difference between God's wisdom as revealed in his word and worldly wisdom that comes from man, and he's going to even take it a step further, saying not only unspiritual, but step further than that and saying it's actually demonic. That's a dangerous place to be when you think about it, that worldly wisdom that's not godly wisdom comes from Satan himself. You say, "Michael, this is kind of dark." It's darker than you could imagine. And if we're not careful, that we'll spend our lives trying to measure up by the world's standards and adopting the world's wisdom and trying to live out the Christian life, and there's a struggle between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man, and the reason is because they are not compatible together. We can't live out the Christian life the way that God intends for us to live out by wholesale adopting the wisdom of the world in our lives. We recognize here that he says it's demonic. In fact, if you want to see a clear picture of this painted, you simply need to go back to Genesis chapter 3. You see in the garden where Adam and Eve are enjoying the presence of God. In fact, they are enjoying the greatest wisdom they could have ever experienced. And yet Satan comes onto the scene. You notice what Satan does. Satan says, did God really say that you're not supposed to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He questions God's revelation, God's authority. And Eve says, well, yeah, God said we couldn't eat of that. And Satan says, you know why? Because God's holding out on you. You recognize if you eat this fruit, you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil? Satan's scheme's not much different today. In fact, if you look at the wisdom of the world, it basically says to us, you can be God. You can know what God knows. You can have whatever you want. All power can be available to you if you just learn how to leverage the system to build yourself up. And see, here what we see is that that's absolutely not from God. In fact, it is from Satan himself. Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 2 that we have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Isn't it interesting that James here would say that wisdom that is worldly is earthly, unspiritual, demonic? But how do we see what worldly wisdom looks like? If that's what it is, if it's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic, how can we find it? How can we see it actually in action? If we wholesale adopt the ways of the world and the wisdom of the world, what are the effects in our lives? And James tells us, beginning in verse 14, he says, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Now, none of us would want to say about ourselves that we have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in our hearts, right? Someone else has that. I don't have that. And yet James would say, if we've adopted the wisdom of the world, in fact, that is the fruit that it produces in our lives. You know, you could look at the problems that exist in the world today, and certainly they're existing because of sin that's in the world, but you could tie it even back down to these two things: bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. The ills that are wrong with the world today could easily be tied to those two things. Why? Because that is the wisdom of the world. And it will absolutely destroy any who adopt it. There's a picture that's played out in Jesus' ministry where he's walking along and his disciples are fighting amongst themselves. I know that never happens in church, right? Nobody fights in church. But they're fighting, the disciples are. And Jesus stops them and he says, what? And they're doing it in such a way that Jesus knows what's going on, but they're not loud enough maybe for him to have heard everything that was going on. And he simply asks them, hey guys, what are you fighting about? And I love how honest they are. They say, well, we're wondering which one of us is the greatest. Can you imagine saying that to Jesus? Being in the presence of the Son of God who is going to go to the cross, lay his life down, and raise from the dead. Could you imagine being in his presence and saying, we're just trying to decide amongst the 12 of us which one of us is the best? Sounds like a couple of kids just playing around, right? These are grown men that are having this conversation. And Jesus redirects their focus and redirects their attention. And he says, listen, those are the conversations that the religious leaders and the scribes are having. Which one of us is the greatest? And he says, that shouldn't be the truth for you and for me. In fact, the one who is the greatest is the one who stoops down to serve. So Jesus, throughout his ministry, takes the wisdom of the world and he flips it on its head. If you want to be great, you need to be a servant. If you want to be first, you need to be last. If you want to have authority, you need to be willing to lay it down. Imagine a self-help guru today saying that. No, you fight for the power. You strive and you work as hard as you can to get influence and you build your platform and then you are able to influence people as a result of that. That's the wisdom of the world. James here says that that leads to bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. And then he says, do not boast and be false to the truth. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. You see, the wholesale pursuit of worldly wisdom leads, James says here, to disorder and every vile practice. Which for us, if we claim the name of Christ, if we've been transformed by the blood of Jesus, should say to us, that's not what we want at all, right? Maybe it's just me. We don't want that. We don't want selfish ambition and bitter jealousy that leads us down the road of every vile practice. That's not what we want. Well, what do we want? What should be our desire as followers of Jesus? James begins with the picture of heavenly wisdom in verse 17. I want you to notice the words that he uses. But the wisdom from above, that's heavenly wisdom, is first pure. You could look at that and contrast that with what he said about worldly wisdom that is jealous, bitterly jealous. He says, no, wisdom that is from God is pure. Keeps going, and he says, it's also peaceable. So instead of causing fights and every vile practice, he says, no, it's absolutely pure from God, and it's peaceable. It doesn't lead to jealousy. It doesn't lead to selfish ambition. In fact, wisdom from above leads peace. And then he says, wisdom from above is gentle. That's in contrast there to boasting and being false to the truth that James has described earlier about worldly wisdom. Wisdom from heaven is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle. Listen to this, it's open to reason. See, the truth is, when you're bitterly jealous and all you care about is yourself, you won't listen to anyone else. You ever notice that? You ever notice when you get your mind fixed on something and nothing else can step in and take? You may not experience that in your life, right? But your kids do, don't they? I want what's mine. I want that toy, and I'm going to take it. That happened this morning in the nursery. I can guarantee you. Why? Because that's the way that kids operate. And yet here, he says that it's open to reason. Listen to this. Wisdom from heaven is full of mercy. When you're focused on yourself and what you can get out of it, you're not a very merciful person. Have you noticed that? but wisdom from heaven? It says, listen, I have experienced the greatest act of mercy from God. Therefore, why would I not respond in the way that God has responded to me? It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's impartial. James has talked about that earlier in chapter 2. And it's sincere. Isn't it amazing when you compare and you contrast verse 15 and verse 17? Worldly wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Heavenly wisdom is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. What's the result? If we pursue heavenly wisdom, what do we gain on the back end of that? What is it demonstrated by in our lives? We've talked about what worldly wisdom will give you. It will give you bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, but what will godly wisdom give you? James tells us in verse 18, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. See, the truth is, for us as believers, if we pursue godly wisdom, Paul would have a conversation in 1 Corinthians where he looks at those and he says, listen, I know what the Greeks are searching. They're searching for wisdom, and I know what the Jews are looking for. He says, but listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ is foolishness to them. It makes absolutely no sense, and yet we preach Christ and Him crucified. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from above. And when we have wisdom from above in our lives as believers, it produces a harvest of righteousness. And so if you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ for your Savior, and you're wondering for yourself this morning, why does it seem like I end up with those things that you described to start with that come from worldly wisdom? Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, focused solely on myself, which leads me to do anything I can to make sure that I stay on top. The issue this morning is very, very simple. You need Jesus. That's who you need. You don't need to clean up your act. You don't need to change your mindset. You don't need to meditate more. None of those things. You need transformation of your life, which is only available through Christ. But believer, let me ask you the same question. What would characterize your life this morning? Practically speaking, living out your faith today, would it be those first things that we talked about? Selfish ambition, bitter jealousy, vile practice, boasting in who I am and what I've done. Believer, if that's where you are this morning, the problem is very, very simple. You've adopted, even though you claim to follow Christ, you've adopted the worldly wisdom that's permeating society today. Because of the fruit of godly wisdom, the fruit of God's revelation to us as it transforms our life leads to righteousness, James says. And so maybe this morning, believer, you need to step back for a second. And you need to evaluate where you are in your life at the moment, and you need to ask a very serious question. Have I adopted the wisdom of the world? Am I chasing my own selfish ambition? Am I focused solely on myself? Am I focused solely on what I can get out of life that I can use people to benefit myself? the end road to that doesn't look pretty. It leaves carnage in the wake. And yet there's a better way, James says. And that is the wisdom of the world, the Lord. It's godly wisdom. Will you pursue that this morning? Which leads to righteousness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that is contained within it. And yet, God, I hope this morning and I pray that this would not just have been a time of us gaining more information or more knowledge. But Father, that it would be a time that leads to transformation because of what we've heard this morning. Father, I have no doubt that there are some that are in this room that have never taken the step of trusting in Jesus for salvation. And yet this morning, they have the opportunity to do that. Father, I pray that you would give them the strength and the courage to trust in Jesus, who laid his life down for them, who paid their sin debt on the cross, and who rose from the dead, conquering both sin and death and hell. That they would trust in him. They would experience the wisdom that comes from above. Father, I lift the believers here this morning, myself included, that are so saturated by the wisdom of the world. Father, it seems that everywhere we turn, that we're told that life is all about us. It's all about getting what we can out of it. It's about moving up the ladder. It's about having our needs met. It's about us being happy. And yet the end of that road leads to heartbreak. Father, help us as believers to evaluate maybe those places in our life where we have adopted the world's wisdom. We would lay that on the altar this morning. That we would once again see the beauty of heavenly wisdom. That is focused more on serving than it is getting. That is focused more on laying our lives down than it is moving up. And your promise to us through your word is that it leads to righteousness in our lives. May we yearn for that this morning. Desire it more than anything else. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. You sing. You've got some folks in the back. If you need to talk, we'd love to hear that.